tell you what happened. The board, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, board members deliberated and reviewed the division information and the show of cause. And we had deliberation about compassion and situational circumstances that had occurred for Ms. Trujillo. And the board was compassionate about that. The board agrees unanimously with A, that Ms. Trujillo failed to comply with the terms of the stipulation and order. The board unanimously agreed that Ms. Trujillo had a failure to comply with the stipulation, with she had a failure to comply with the order, and she engaged in unprofessional conduct. With regard to number C, considering revocation of the license and other disciplinary sanctions, the board discussed that and unanimously recommend revocation for 3 years. Next would be a 1 year random testing, and then 5 board members recommended to going with the 3-month fit for duty and substance abuse evaluation. 1 board member said that should be 6 months before. Do you have questions from what I just said?
It's certainly, self-evident that reasonable minds can differ. So I think with 5 board members suggesting that, that 3-month period, that's probably what I would consider the majority opinion. So I can prepare an order based on that.
Okay, any other questions, or is this now closed? So do we need to do a vote?
Do we need to make a motion on this?
Motion and a vote. Is Jeff there?
Jeff is here.
Jeff, do we need to do a motion and a vote?
I don't think so. You're making a recommendation.
I think you've articulated the recommendation of the board.
Okay.
If you've announced the decision, and if anybody has an objection to that, they can say so. But otherwise, I don't think we need another vote.
Okay.
Okay. So, board members, you heard what was narrated to Mr. Steed. If I've missed something or if anything needed to be added, please let us know now. Okay, it stands as it does, Mr. Steed.
Thank you.
We'll close this. We'll now go to our next informal adjudicative proceeding with Ms. Palfreyman. Jeff, do you want to give us some direction on this? Yeah, or is
it good? Mr. Leo, the division will create an order that would be considered by the divisional director, and then you would receive a copy of what the official order would be. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
And Ms. Trujillo, the order will also inform you of your rights to seek further review if you so desire from the department level. There are appellate reviews options available to you as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Are we ready to proceed on the next matter?
We are ready.
Is Ms. Palfreyman present? Oh, yes, ma'am. I see you, Ms. Palfreyman.
Hi.
So this is the time and place for that informal adjudicative proceeding in the matter of the license of Heidi A. Palfreyman, Utah license number 362080-3102, practice as a registered nurse in the state of Utah. I'm Robert Steed, acting as counsel for the division. We have a quorum of the Utah Board of Nursing present. Notice has been served through the notice of agency action, and Ms. Palfman is present. And my understanding is, Ms. Palfman, you did submit a written letter to the board, which is part of the record in this case.
Yes.
So the Division of Professional Licensing has filed this notice of agency action to address whether Ms. Palfman failed to comply with the terms of the order entered on March 23rd, 2018. Based on the stipulation of the parties in DOPPEL case number DOPL 2018-124. That would be your probationary stipulation and order. And whether based on your failure to comply with the order, you've engaged in unprofessional conduct in violation of Utah Code 581-5012A subsection I and subsection XV. And whether an order should be issued on account of your violations to revoke your license as a registered nurse and or impose other disciplinary sanctions. This is a proceeding brought under the legal authority of the Division of Professional Licensing under 581-401 subsection 2 and is supported by the records of the Division of Professional Licensing, which I'll be summarizing to some extent here at this hearing. The allegations in this case are that the respondent has been a nurse since 2010, November 8th, 2010 in Utah. At least that's the last license date on record. On March 23rd, 2018, the division approved a stipulation and order in case number DOPL 2018-124, revoking respondent's license to practice as a registered nurse, but staying the imposition of the revocation, which means they didn't impose the revocation, and placed respondent's license on probation for 5 years, subject to the terms and conditions set forth in that agreement. The stipulation and order was intended to address admissions relating to respondent that she diverted controlled substances such as Dilaudid, morphine sulfate, morphine, and Percocet from her employers, narcotic supplies for personal use, and respondent did not, Ms. Palfman did not possess a prescription nor had authorization to take these narcotics. So there's multiple terms and conditions relating to the probation, which include evaluation and treatment relating to mental and physical health, and also conditions relating to the illegal or improper use of controlled substances and or alcohol. And Ms. Palfman was also prohibited from using or possessing controlled substances and prescription drugs without proper authorization and taken in accordance to practitioner's instructions and authorization pursuant to a prescription. And Ms. Palfman was agreed not to take any other products that might cause a positive test result. And she was not allowed to consume alcohol or mind-altering substances, including products that would result in a positive test for alcohol or drugs. This also contained what is common in these cases, the requirement that Ms. Palfman submit to randomized drug and alcohol testing, which required daily check-ins via phone or internet with a testing provider who would determine on which days Ms. Palfman was required to appear and submit for testing. Ms. Palfman also agreed that a certain test results that had a low creatinine below 20 milligrams, and it has a small D and a large L, I'm sure that's a deciliter or something, would be considered a violation of the stipulation order. Also, there are provisions relating to testing samples that were dilute. Those are the general conditions of the probation. Since the issuance of that order, there have been a number of probation violations, which are a matter of record, including on paragraph 6 of page 3 of the notice of agency action, that on November 7th, 2019, in case number DOPL 2019-466, respondent admitted that she missed a check-in for drug testing on June 22nd. 2019 and submitted a testing sample on August 5th, 2019, which was abnormally dilute. Ms. Palfman also admitted that taking, I can't even say this, gabapentin and narcotics from the drug stock of her Utah employer for her own use without authorization And for that, she agreed to the payment of a fine of $250. On June 21st, 2021, in case number DOPL 2021-192, Ms. Palfreyman entered into a stipulation reflecting additional probationary violations, admitting to drinking alcohol to the division and diluting a test sample on June 3rd, 2021, for which Ms. Palfreyman agreed to pay a $500 fine. On August 4th, 2021, in case number DOPL 2021-269, Ms. Palfreyman signed another stipulation based on violations of probation occurring since the last one, admitting to testing positive for alcohol use through a PEP test on June 29th, 2021, for which Ms. Palfreyman was fined $750. And on April 5th, 2022, in case number DOPL 2022-74, Ms. Palfreyman signed a stipulation and order admitting to four separate positive tests for alcohol use. Those test results occurred on or about January 3rd, 2022, January 18th, 2022, February 1st, 2022, February 9th, 2022, and responded admitted to the violations of the probation and signed an agreement to pay a $1,000 fine. And then finally, there was a stipulation in order on case number 2023-397 issued on November 28th of 2023, where Ms. Palfreyman entered into a disagreement admitting that violating her probation by having a positive test for alcohol use on April 18th, 2022, and respondent agreed to pay a fine of $1,250. The stipulation in order in that case was delayed in being signed and approved as an order, and accordingly, the timing of it was that other violations occurred during the pendency of addressing that matter, which predate the November 2023 approval date on the stipulation I talked about earlier. So they're not in sequence. Since that latest stipulation, the notice of agency action on page 4 indicate that there have been some more violations of the DOPL stipulation 2019-466, which is the probationary order. A positive test on September 25th, 2023. Ms. Palfreyman provided a urine sample that tested positive for alcohol. There were two dilute tests on April 27th of 2023 and September 22nd, 2023. It violated the terms for probation. And on subsection C on page 4 of the notice of agency action on October 4th, 2023, and November 1st, 2023, there was a failure to submit a sample on both of those dates to the drug testing agency. By engaging in these violations, these additional violations, the division is at the point where we're requesting relief based on the number and extent of these violations, and request that the board find that Ms. Palfreyman has engaged in the acts, practices, and omissions as alleged in the notice of agency action, that by so engaging in these acts and practices or omissions, that the respondent be found to have violated the division's order and the probationary license alleged, and the order be issued revoking Ms. Palfreyman's license to practice as a registered nurse in the state of Utah, subject to the requirement that she be revoked for a period of 5 years, and a year prior to reapplication, that she undergo 1 year testing through an agreement with the division at her own expense, randomized as she was during her probation, and that between 6 and 3 months before her application, that she undergo fitness for duty evaluation and a substance use disorder evaluation. That's the relief that the division at this point is seeking. At this point, I'd probably like to ask get some more information and ask some questions of Ms. Palfreyman. And then I'd also, at this point, like to ask a few questions of our compliance specialist to draw out some information about the nature and timing of these drug tests and the costs related to it, because in the hearings we've had today, there's been a number of questions raised about that. And I think some further understanding of that process is important. Ms. Palfreyman, can I ask you a few questions?
Yes.
And do you promise that the answers you give and the statements you make today in this proceeding are the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay, you've heard me explain kind of the history relating to your initial stipulation and order resulting in your probation, and each of the stipulations of orders that you've signed since then, containing, you know, probationary violations and the fines that were imposed as a result of that. Do you have any objection to any of that information as
to
truthfulness? Okay. I want to focus now on the probation violations themselves that have occurred since you last entered into a stipulation. It alleges that on November 7th, let me see if I can get this right. Let's see, that's the wrong day. Check here. I don't need to talk about the stipulations. I want to talk about, okay. Since your last stipulation, it says in the notice of agency action, we allege that on September 25th of 2023, you had a positive alcohol test. Do you admit or deny that allegation?
Do I deny it?
Yeah, do you admit or deny it?
I admit it.
Okay. In subsection B, and I don't know, do you have a copy of this notice of agency action in front of you?
I don't. Okay. I'm in treatment right now, so.
Oh, okay. We'll talk about that.
Okay.
You don't have it, so I'm kind of reading stuff in here and thinking, where did that come from? Did you receive a copy of this notice of agency action?
Yes, and I've read it several times, so.
Okay, so do you admit or deny that you had dilute tests on April 27th, 2023 and on September 22nd, 2023?
I admit.
Okay. And do you admit that on or about October 4th, 2023, and again on November 1st, 2023, to failing to submit a sample when directed to by inspecting compliance?
I admit.
I believe those are all the allegations. Do you have, you'll be given an opportunity to talk to the board, to ask questions. But at this point, I'm going to turn some time over to the board. But before I do that, I just want to briefly call to Sharon Bennett to testify about a few things that might be helpful in understanding a little bit about the frequency of test results, to the extent she can talk about that, and the cost of test results. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay. Ms. Bennett, can you, I want to ask you a few questions. Throughout the hearings today, where there's been questions about the cost of test results and sometimes like the frequency of test results that may occur in quicker succession at some times rather than others. Can you comment first on what the cost is of the tests that we administer?
So the basic test that the majority of our probationists have is around $50. And the amount, which we never tell them the set amount, but we have an X amount of tests in a 1 year period, which is, you know, where court system tests you weekly. We actually have, well, you could have two a month or one a month is basically how our tests go. If a probationer comes back and they have a positive test, or they said they have relapsed or lapsed, then you're going to have an extra test put in. Basically, it's a division making sure that the probationer is safe to practice out there. If they're out there and working and they're telling us that they are indeed drinking alcohol or using, we want to make sure that that is coming out of the system if they've had a previous one. So that is where they get an extra test. So if they no-show to a test, they're going to get an additional test. They no-show, they're going to get an additional test. So if you're seeing all these no-shows, it's not that we're scheduling those the same every time, that they're getting that amount all the time. It's because they're being non-compliant. So if you take a regular probationer, they might only have one or two a month, and that's it. But if you're being non-compliant and you're using, we need to make sure you're safe to practice. So that's where the testing goes up. Also, in your question about the cost, it's $50 for the regular test that we use. If they are drinking alcohol, then you'll be randomly chosen for a blood test, and that is $125 approximately. But that doesn't mean that they're getting that all the time. They're probably getting that, well, 20% of the time, unless they are lapsing or relapsing. And we need to make sure they're safe to practice. So we, as the division, will add the testing to make sure that they are safe to practice.
And that information, Ms. Palfreyman, wasn't directed at you. I wanted the board to hear that explanation, because we understand that there's a cost attributed to testing, and that sometimes as you look at the record, you'll see more frequent test results. And I just want the board to hear that testimony so they have an understanding, a little bit of that process, if they haven't heard that already, because some of the board members are new. So, Ms. Palfreyman, with respect to you, I'd like to now give the board a chance to talk to you and have you answer their questions.
Okay.
Do any of the board members have questions for Heidi?
So, Linda, this is Ralph Pittman. Heidi, I just have one question for you. I've read the letter that you've submitted to the board along with the information that the state has provided. If you could make a recommendation to the board in regards to how to proceed in this matter, what would your recommendation be?
To extend my probation and more frequent drug testing. I am in treatment right now, and I am planning on doing sober living and their IOP program as well.
Heidi, if you could go back and change one thing during your time that you've been on probation, what would you change to make things better for you or make you more compliant with your stip and order?
I would have listened to more suggestions in treatment and realized that I needed to work on loving myself, because that's my biggest problem, is I have hated myself so long that I didn't really have a reason. Probably doesn't make sense to you guys, but like this time around, I really have been working on that, and I probably would have done that just so I, and reached out to more people so I didn't get in this situation.
Thank you, Heidi.
Anyone else with questions for Heidi? Heidi, anything for us?
More? I think I've said everything in my letter. Like, I mean, I can't deny that I wasn't compliant. Like, I admit, and like, I've realized that this disease is going to kill me if I don't get a handle on it. And I've come to like the terms of, if I do lose my license for a while, I know I'll be okay and I'll keep working on my recovery. And, you know, it's out of my hands. And I just feel either way that it goes, that's the path I'm supposed to take, and I will work hard to get it back if that's what happens.
Thank you, Heidi. Unless I hear anything else from the board members, Mr. Steed will hand it back to you.
I have no further questions at this time. I think the board can go into deliberations at this point by going to close the meeting.
Okay, Ralph, please.
This is Ralph Pittman. As provided under Utah Code, annotated 52-4-205-1A, I move to close this portion of the meeting to discuss the character, professional competence, or physical or mental health of an individual.
Can I get a second on that? Julie Gee, second. All in favor? Okay, and the motion is passed and we are closed. Please go off the recording, and then board members, let's please go into the